Jimmy.
Yep.
There are like no good podcasts out there.
There are very few. None. I mean, really, it's just like ours. There's Doctrine
and Devotion. Okay, well, obviously, that's why we started.
That's right.
Because we needed to have a really good podcast. But then,
yep.
As we started putting our podcast together, we did discover a few
yes.
really good podcasts, and one in particular.
Oh, yeah. Put on by our man, DeWayne!
At Biblical and Reformed.
Yeah, the bar, baby.
You got to get... Listen, because we only put out two podcasts a week.
That's right.
All right. So you need to supplement our awesomeness mm-hmm. with DeWayne's awesomeness.
DeWayne awesomeness.
So he has good guests on. He has good yes. conversations. So we were just on there.
Yeah, and it's what I like about DeWayne is that he's encouraging.
Yep.
He's honest.
He's real.
He's real.
He's handsome.
He's biblical.
He's good looking.
Wait, what? No, what?
No, he is. No, you
yeah,
see
he
him?
Is, but why do we?
He's got like soft eyes and good hair.
I don't even know where to go from here.
Well, that's. I'm just saying he's worth listening to.
He is. But you're not going to see him. Why? It doesn't
oh,
matter.
Oh, no. I see pictures of him on Instagram.
Oh, fair enough. Follow him on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Biblical and Reformed. It's a podcast definitely that you should subscribe to.
Later.
The Bar. Biblical and Reforming.
For those of us who claim Christ, our authority is the Scripture. For those who don't claim Christ or who claim another, I'd like for them to, we challenge them to explain a standard of truth apart from Scripture. Explain the nature of good and evil apart from the Scripture. You have no context, there's no justification for it, except for the whims of men. And so, man, we stand upon the foundation of the Scripture, sola scriptura, Scripture alone, man.
Doctrine. Yeah, sola scriptura.
Sola scriptura.
Scripture alone. That means Scripture alone. What's your eternal situation for the age of creation? For he laid the foundation, was a plan for expiation. Christ became propitiation, meaning he switched his places on the cross for our disgraces. In the crowd, he saw our faces.
Welcome, everybody, to the bar. We back in the building. And, man, I'm super excited, man. I've had a lot of guests in and out, but finally glad to have one of the bar members or the Be Not Deceived members, Mr. Barlow. How are you, sir?
Grace and peace, man. I'm good. I thank God for all he's been doing and so forth, man. I can't complain.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we miss you on here, Barlow, man. I mean, I've been having some fun, but definitely miss having you on the radio with me.
Yeah, man. You know, I can tell. You know, I was listening to the Todd Friel one last night, man. That was an awesome show. That was just a good show. And I was just listening to it. I wish that I could have been there for that one, man. Because Todd Friel sounds so down to earth and just witty.
Yeah, man.
So just witty and knowledgeable, you know.
Yeah.
And I love his knack for in the midst of all of the fun that y'all were having, sneaking the gospel in there.
Like y'all, exactly.
He killed with that.
Yeah.
I wonder if he thought about that and just did it.
Bro, I think it's just second nature, man. Cause, yeah. and those that are listening that, how that came about was, when you understand the providence of God and his hand and everything, boy, it just blows you away. So I just jumped on sermon audio randomly one day and it was like Stephen Lawson in Greenville, South Carolina. And I was like, what? You know, when, what
right.
time, you know what I mean? So
right,
me and my
right.
wife, man, we jumped in the car. I think it was like the following day, man. And we made plans, jumped in the car. You know, we went to see Stephen Lawson. I mean, who don't want to see Dr. Lawson? So we sitting up in there, man. And, you know, it was a little church kind of packed. And right when church was over, man, I looked back and probably about three rows back, it was Todd and his wife. And, you know, I went up to him. I was like, man, I don't want to say I'm a fan. I know that's not right, you know.
right.
And just immediately, man, just down to earth guy, man, immediately, you know, he was just excited, man. I mean, just to, you know, and we'll talk about this a little bit later. But one of the things, he was just excited to see someone of color, I guess, in the meeting, you know.
Right.
But,
yeah.
Same thing, man. Same wittiness, same down to earth. And I reached out to his camp, man, and they set it up, man. I really enjoyed recording that.
Yeah. I mean, it sounded like, man, I'm telling you the truth, man, like, between him and, what, Joe Thorne and...
Yeah.
And vocab alone, I was like, man, look at Dwayne out here working.
Yeah, we grinding, man, we grinding. That was another fun one, man. And here's the thing, like, okay... With Joe, let me tell you the Joe Thorne Jimmy thing, you know, cause we've been kind of, you know, back and forth, especially with Instagram, you know, kidding around or whatever. And I asked them and, you know, they was like, okay, we'll do it this day, this time. And it was during the day, you know, so I was like, okay, I'll do it. And, then they counseled them, had something come up. So then I get a call, man. It probably was about 9 o'clock Eastern time. It was like, Joe said, can we record in like 5 minutes? And I'm like, like, I think so. So, man, I'm scurrying, running everybody, you know, to their rooms and setting it up, man. And it was cool, man. I was like, you guys, I did it for them, man, because I like them. But that was pretty rough.
Yeah. And it was another good show, man. I mean, just those guys. And I had never really actually had the chance to listen to their shows, but I mean, like, those guys are hilarious.
Bro.
Even like the commercial that they did, like the little plug that they did. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Those guys, man, you guys look them up, man. Doctrine and Devotion. Yeah. They're like us, man, you know, and that's what brought us, you know, we are ourselves, man. We don't get up here and we don't try to front. You know, y'all know, you know, I don't know much and I just put it out there, you know, so they like us, man. They have fun, man, and have good radio, man. Good stuff. Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, I wish people understood that about Christmas. I mean, like, hey, they don't get that. Like, just because we don't go out to clubs and you know, and just do all the stuff that the sinful stuff that people think is fun. It's like, that doesn't mean that we don't have fun. Like, I enjoy life.
Oh, yeah.
I have a lot of fun as a Christian, and there's a lot of things that we laugh at. Like, granted, I get there's just some Christians. I mean, God bless them. They don't want to laugh. You know, and it's okay.
Right.
You know, I got a couple of friends like that on Facebook right now. Like they, like, I put some jokey up, and it's like, they don't get the joke. You know? And,
oh, yeah.
And, but they're like, there's others, man, like, especially, I gotta be, like, it's strange, but it seems like really, like, the reform community has a weird sense of humor, but it's a sense of humor. And typically, usually, it revolves around sarcasm and stuff. And you can
probably
draw some more conclusions and so forth from that. But, like, I mean, like, when you look at people like Adam Ford.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
That dude is, I love this kind of shit. Like, and it's, you know, like, he has some serious strips that'll teach you something serious and doctrinal. Mm-hmm. And then they can have like a funny strip that'll still teach you something doctrinal. And it's like he's a genius with it. And you know, and between him and the Babylon Bee, like their sense of humor, like, again, I think there's a lot of people who don't get it. Like, I've seen people share articles from the Babylon Bee.
It was real.
any Christian that can laugh, man, I got a special place in my heart for them.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, that I guess this is a chance to promote my own Instagram page, because that's my thing, man. I love making memes and videos, and it's just good stuff, man.
Yeah, it's some of your stuff, man. Like, to this day, I still laugh at the old Bruce Lee one.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like that was one of the ones where I knew right there that you were the solo. Because I remember I would search for that video. I'd go over with random friends, like, man, look what my man Dwayne did. And so that Bruce Lee. But then, like, there were just so many. You've had so many good videos, man. And I feel like the Facebook community don't get it yet. Like, the Instagram
They're not there, man. They're not there.
Yeah. Yeah,
man, I had a breakup with Facebook there. One time, man. I was like, you guys suck, man.
Yeah. like the Facebook community is not getting it, because it's like, man, how are y'all not laughing and how are y'all not sharing it? Like,
yeah.
But then, like, if I go on Instagram, I see it, man, I see all types of people just, you know, just hitting you up on there. I mean, but yeah, kudos to you in the videos, man. That's
good
stuff. I think the one that I do get circulated is the Black Hebrew Israelite.
Oh yeah, and, yeah. We did that through our page, so that got a bigger audience. So yeah, most deaf. That one's pretty funny. And it's funny because you know, it was off a conversation that I had with y'all, man, about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? And you know, that's the whole thing, man, about memes, man. Cause that's how I think, man. I quote movie lines, you know, I'm always quoting Dave Chappelle, you know, so yeah. That stuff is just in my mind, man. And I see something and it reminds me of something. And there goes the magic, you know?
Yep. Sure enough. And this stuff is just hilarious, man. It's good to be able to laugh. But like, I mean, like in the midst of everything, we got a lot of stuff going on, you know.
Yes.
Like recently, I kind of got to the point to where, man, like honestly, I don't even want to hear the news anymore. It's just like because it's you know what I'm saying. I mean, like with the what's his name, the Terrence. I'm kidding. What his last name is right now? Like that is a horrific story, man. And I haven't been commenting on anything or saying anything about it. Just because, man, like I'm so over the. I'm so over that type of a soapbox on social media about it. I mean, you know, and we've talked about it before on the show. Yes, there are corrupt police officers. Yes, there are corrupt citizens. And all of this stuff happened because of sin in the world, man. And I guess for me, what bugs me is that everybody's still looking at it as if black people are something different from white people. And that's one of the reasons why I think it's still, because I don't see it like that. I'm not saying that black people don't, suffer some type of discrimination or mistreatment because of skin tone. I'm not saying that in the least.
But what
I am saying is that when it comes to us, as black people, as white people, as Chinese people, you know, yellow people, whatever your nationality or your skin tone is, like when it comes to all of that, really, I can't seem to separate any of us away from the fact that we were all born sons of Adam, and born in sin and in need of a savior. Like that's, I kid you not, like that's what I see. That's all. Right. That, I mean, that's the only way that I'm able to comprehend it. You know, you're just another human with less melanin than me or more melanin than me, whatever the case may be. And that's that. So when I see something like an officer shooting an unarmed black man, for me, it's not a race issue. It's like, skip that. This is false. I can't see past the fact that it's a sinful thing that just happened and just takes place. And that's the only way I know how to preach it. You know, and folks may say that I'm blind and this, that, and the other, whatever. I mean, let's say if you do want to call it racism, even though I feel like that's a misuse of the word, want to call it racism, fine, you can call it that, but I understand that that's just a branch of the same problem, and I will forever stick by that. You know, my prayers, you know, I'm praying for his family.
Most definitely.
The family of the victim. I'm praying for the family of the other man who committed the act. I mean, it's amazing how quick, as Christians, we're so quick to throw out to pray for your enemy's portion.
Oh yeah.
You know, and I mean that in the sense of praying for their salvation, for their repentance, you know, because, you know, I don't wish hell on anybody.
Oh no.
I don't wish hell on anybody, but God's will be done one way or the other, man. And my thing is, you know, being a Christian is not, you know, we don't do things the way that the world does them. And so to see the way that Christians are responding to this thing, it's just like a burden on the heart almost. It's sad because even Christians are divided over this, and I just wish we wake up and see the point of it all.
And it really goes back to the show that you and Chrissy did, real excellent show. Basically, they're acting out of emotion, you know. That's the driving force, is emotion. And, you know, I'm just like you, man. Like I don't watch the news, you know, I don't get into all that. But I know you saw this cause you're a Facebook creeper like me. I know you saw the Lecrae, you know, if you kneel, they riot. But if you, what is you? How do you phrase that? I wouldn't.
Something like that, like if you killed a choir. I did see that. And again, it's one of those things. It's like, I'm not even about to, because last thing I need right now is another debate. I saw that, man, and it's just, you know, I mean, it is. I got to the point where I recognize Lecrae. I'm not the one who will say that Lecrae is not a Christian. I'm not saying that at all. But I got to the point where I recognize that. You know what I'm saying? That Lecrae is about that, you know what I'm saying? That, I ain't saying that, I'm trying to think how to put it. He's about that sociology. He's when it comes to his whole thing is, you know, saying at this point, he's like a speaker for the people in a sense. Right. And, you know, he knows he has a lot of people that's listening to him. He's going to say what, you know what I'm saying, what technically is like kind of, I hate to say it, like the end thing to say.
Yeah.
You know,
and
you know, my whole, again, I it's hard for me to consider anybody's outrage sincere if you're not outraged at every murder. You know,
exactly.
You're not outraged by every unjust act. It's hard for me. Like me, I feel the same way for every murder. Who did it or where it come from. And I'm not saying that to say that, well, I'm better than them because of that, but I'm just saying, like, the thing is, let's have a consistent argument.
Here. Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And I think a lot of people take me saying that as me trying to say, well, that's an excuse that the cop did because black on black. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying that it's all sin, that it's all wrong. That everybody needs the gospel. Everybody needs repentance. Everybody needs to submit to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I mean, mm-hmm. I believe if more preachers preach that, and more preachers took it as that and stopped separating black people as if we're somebody different from the white people in regards to the sin nature, I think that maybe we'd have less people out here responding in emotion.
Yeah, most definitely. Definitely starts in the pulpit, you know. Any kind of change, and not necessarily you know, the revolution or, you know, whatever, but the emotions are they driven by the pulpit. And that's something that, Dr. Stephen Lawson said one time, you know, you put a upright man in the pulpit, you know, and create upright, you know, people, a flock, but you put a weary or wavery, whatever man in the pulpit, it'll create those kind of people, man. So I definitely agree with you on that.
Y'all mentioned, I was listening to Todd Frill, man. He was talking about like expository preaching, and I know he had mentioned something about how his church had went through the Book of John.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it took them how long? I want to say he said it took them like a couple of years or something.
He said 3 years.
Yeah, and hearing him say that kind of got me like, dang, I must be doing it wrong because I've been going through the Book of John. Yeah, I've been going through the Book of John at my church, and I'm on chapter 8 this Sunday.
It blew me away, bro, because honestly, you know, that's kind of what I'm trying to learn is the whole expository, I guess, format or how to develop an expository message, because I wasn't taught that when it came to ministry. So I don't get it, man. I watched a video on YouTube where Steve Lawson was talking about how he does it, man. And Buddy literally prints out like a sentence and then he writes a sermon all around that one sentence. And that's a whole sermon. I don't know, T. I can't figure it out.
Yeah.
I don't know. I need to hook up with them guys, find out how they do that.
Yeah, I'm not there yet, but they do know what I'm...
but you know, I've heard a story about Martin Lloyd Jones. You know, he said he was a great expositor. So he took like, you know, a couple years through, I think it was Romans or one book. I can't remember, but I've heard people tell stories about that, man. Yeah. So,
yeah, man, I mean, let me tell you, man, I feel like, speaking as a preacher, man, I think expository preaching is like a means of grace for me. Because I remember when I first started preaching, I used to be like, man, where am I preaching? And I'm like, like worried about running out of stuff to talk about.
Yes.
And then it's like, well, if you think about it, at that time, you know, in hindsight, being 2020, like, how much of the Bible have I actually read?
Exactly.
You know, and then now, when you think about like expository preaching, it's like, oh, well, wait a minute. Like, it's already written. Like, when people tell me, come up and try to pat me on the back for a sermon, I tell them the truth, man. I ain't doing them a plagiarize. I mean, like, God already wrote it. I just talk about it. It's like a movie critique almost. But, it definitely makes it a lot easier.
Oh yeah,
to be prepared. You know, I mean, like you never have to sit. The only time I ever really sit and try to think about what it is I want to preach about is if I know I'm preaching at a guest church.
Because
I do things a little differently with guests, because at guest church I don't have time to develop.
Right, right.
right. You know, the basis of everything. Like I have to be able to unpack things.
Yeah.
A little faster, while still expositing the scripture though.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like you don't do any injustice to the interpretation of the scripture, but it's just, you know, you don't get to be able to set the setting for Romans, the historical context and all mm-hmm, of the jazz mm-hmm. and so forth. Whereas, you know, with the congregation on a weekly basis, I'm able to sit there mm-hmm. and say, all right, well, listen, we're going to start here. In the beginning was the word. Let's talk right. about what this means. Because right. this is going to, and you're able to say, listen, hold on to this fact because we're going to see this later on in the following chapters here. This mm-hmm. will make this following chapter make more sense. This will fulfill this. You know, and I think, man, like a lot of, some of the members that came up and said, it's like, you know, it's like, you know, they just say like they're at a place now where the scripture is actually being opened up to them that they hadn't, things that they hadn't thought of. The scriptures they've been hearing all their life, but nobody right. actually taught them. Like they mm-hmm. can quote the scripture, but nobody ever taught them, you know, mm-hmm. and so I sit here and go through like, pick up a passage like John 3:16. I tell him, "said listen, this is a beautiful passage. You guys got it memorized, but the problem is that we don't deal with what it's actually saying to us, or what it mm-hmm. actually means. That you know, and speaking as a you know as a Reformed theologian who believes in the monergistic soteriology, you know, I have these conversations with folks. You know, when we talk about limited atonement, and they right. bring up John 3:16, I said, well, John 3:16 proves limited atonement."
Exactly.
I mean, because it says, whosoever believes,
mm-hmm.
you know, whosoever believes shall not perish. So you're able to pull from that and say, well, whoever believes not perishes, which means that exactly. the atonement is limited to those who believe. And so, I mean, simple thing. We just, it's all about dealing with that. And like, both in our congregation, they just never looked at that verse that way.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's probably people that's listening and never looked at that verse that way, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and, you know, and then all of a sudden I said, well, you know, here's another thing I tell people all the time. I say, man, if you're starting your Bible study off or a sermon or whatever, I mean, if you're starting your Bible study off in the middle of the chapter, mm-hmm. in the middle of the book, you're doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have failed to set the context of, you have failed to address what it is.
No, Barlow. This is what it is. They take that verse. And they say, okay, blah, blah, blah. They don't care what came before it, what came after that right. verse. And we're going to read this verse and then I'm going to preach to you for 30 minutes, but don't even mention that verse. That's. Right.
That has made me so mad when I've seen preachers.
Bro, I used to do it too, though. I ain't going to lie. Yeah. I was guilty.
I mean, I think I did it, but I mean, I just mishandled the verse. You know,
yeah.
you know, my thing is, I, it's certain stuff like that has become cliche that people are just saying,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know, like, for example, you know, like they'll talk about like the Valley of the Dry Bones.
Yep.
And they'll talk about the, you know, being spiritually dead. And to them, being spiritually dead means that you're sitting in church mm-hmm. service quiet.
Yep.
If I'm in church service and I'm quiet, I'm spiritually dead.
Right.
Like, wait a minute. That doesn't make, no, that's not, like you're totally, You're totally destroying the context of the Valley of the Dry Bones or what right. it means to be spiritually dead. And say, mm-hmm. I mean, because and when you're doing that, you actually do violence to the gospel, because here you have people thinking that the power of the gospel depends upon their decision. And, yep. and it's like, whoa, at that point, again, you're doing violence. You're missing it. And you know, it's expository preaching is very important. It is highly
yes.
important.
Yes,
highly
sir.
Important.
And I hope to have Dr. Stephen Lawson on here, man. I'm in contact with his people. And that's exactly what I wanted to talk about, man. Hopefully he'll pick a time that works good for you, Barlow, man. That's the only reason why I've been pulling y'all in, man. These guys, man, they want to do like Todd Friel won at like 8 o'clock in the morning. It's like, okay. You know, vocab, you know, we went on late, you know what I'm saying? And like I said, Joe Thorne in the next 5 minutes, you know, but it's funny. I'm checking my email and the famous Miss Darby emailed me back. So it looks like we will have R.C. Sproles Jr. this Friday at 3 o'clock Eastern time, buddy. Putting it down.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
R.C. Sproles Jr. That guy, he said some stuff that had me thinking. I think one of the for me, one of the quotes that he said that sticks out to me most, and I think it was just recently he said it. He said, I'm trying to think, if you're using Jesus even with sinners as an excuse to hang out with sinners, I think you, and he said something like, I think you're confused with who you are in that story or something like that.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He's like, basically saying that, like, Jesus eating with sinners is not for us to be like, oh, well, I can go. I mean, but it's really more so like the fact that we're the sinners at Christ.
Right.
It's coming to us. I mean, like, I forgot how he said it, man, but when I read that, I was like, oh, snap.
Yeah. Yeah, he's tough, man. I love his, he got a everyday podcast. I mean, it's about maybe 20 minutes, man, called, Jesus Changes Everything. He dropped that every day, you know. And I'm excited to have him on, man, cause he's a big advocate for, a big advocate against, you know, abortion and also, a real big advocate for, homeschooling. So.
Yeah.
I'm real excited about that. So I don't know when that would air, I guess, according to this joint right here, because we got a couple in the pipeline, man, that are waiting to get released.
Yeah.
Like I said, Vocab is coming. And then also my man Paul from Righteous Wretch. Oh, no. Yeah, that's it. Righteous Wretch Apparel. Man, I had fun with him, man. With my man Paul.
Yeah.
Paul's real cool, man. Paul got some things going on, man. I pray that business continue to grow for him. Yes, sir. He's got married and a baby on the way in less than a year.
Wow. Wow. Let him do it. Get there. Yeah.
Paul been busy.
Yeah. Yeah, man. You're doing the ministry and you got a baby coming. I know that's. I mean, you know, like, doing a ministry with family, I mean, period. It's like, man, it's tough. Like, trying to make sure you balance that time out and so forth, man. And I feel like I try to include my kids in the things that I do. I try as much as possible.
Yeah.
As much as possible, man. And yeah, man, my daughter, she's like, she's known as the singer around here in Omaha. And, I mean, like she's actually supposed to be going to go sing a solo. I got to work. I ain't gonna be able to beat her. She actually has to go sing a solo. But I'm saying, like, one of the things that's real tough is telling her, like, listen, you know, like, yeah, you may be able to have this gift to sing and all that, but you still need to make sure that everything that you're singing about, you're living it out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so, like, me doing all this stuff, like, sometimes I get a little guilty. That's why I haven't really been posting as much on Facebook, because it's like, here my kids are. Here I am on Facebook and stuff. And
right.
My son trying to get me to come do this with them. My daughter trying to get me to do that with them. You know, and it's like, you know, I need to make sure I prioritize and make sure I'm not neglecting my first ministry, man. So like, yeah, that's, so shout out to that guy, Paul, man. I hope and pray that he's able to balance everything. What all does he do?
Well, he's the founder of Righteous, Wretch, the gear, the t-shirts that you see.
Right.
With the Steel Fresh and the hats and the Spurge. Yeah, he started that basically out of his house, man. And actually he got Joe Thorne to kind of endorse it. He's saying everything to Joe so Joe can wear it and, you know, it comes trendy. But yeah, he, that's what he started, man. Kind of like, you know, besides him, there's only like one other person doing like reformed, trendy, you know what I mean, gear. And that's Mission Awares. You know, they got some good stuff. And like I was telling him, man, t-shirt, cause see, I always been a t-shirt guy, man. Like, you know, cause t-shirts start conversations. And even when I was in the world, man, you know, I used to keep a, you know, some kind of t-shirt that would, you know, get your attention or whatever. Cause one of my most famous ones was I had one with a donkey on the front and it said, I'm a smart one. So, you know, being able to get reform tees, like from Mission Awares, I got the, you know, Soli Diddle Gloria, and people ask me what it mean. I love when people ask me what it mean. I tell them, you know, God be the glory alone. And I talk to them about the solas. And then I was telling, Paul that the Steel Fresh tee, you know, it has, you know, Spurgeon, John Calvin and Martin Luther. I had an older gentleman recognize it in a store, man, and like kind of, you know, gave me the, you know, thumbs up, you know, Mr. Miyagi head nod, you know, because from the out, you know, from the outside looking in, man, he wouldn't know that I was reformed, that I even believed in sound doctrine, you know, but right. Seeing that on my tee, you know, that was like, okay, you know, like it opened up the door, man, for conversations and things like that.
And that's like what that stuff should do, man. That's why like I need to get more t-shirts, more theology t-shirts. I had a lot of abolitionist shirts and I can't find them with since we moved it. But I want to get I keep telling my wife, like, yeah, I need to go. I say shop it if I don't have any. And mm-hmm. all I know is that I'm probably going to get them and she's going to start wearing them. That's what's going to happen.
Well, that's what happened. This is what you can do now. They got the women version. Get your wife.
Ladies love.
Yeah, man. Shout out to my homegirl doing that. The ladies love theology. Yeah. You gotta, you know, give her that joint and say, hey, this is yours. This is mine.
that ain't gonna work. No, she'll be like,
oh, I know. I know, bro.
We are married.
Yeah.
I'll be on my off days. I'll be looking for my t-shirts and she wearing them.
Oh, yeah. I know, like, bro.
It's all right. It's cute, so I'll deal with it.
Yeah. I feel you. Yeah, it's funny because, like, we was cleaning out my drawers and my wife was like, oh, I see you put all your little reform little t-shirts up here on top and then all the other t-shirts down there balled up together. I was like, yeah, you know, these are my special ones.
Right.
Yeah, man.
All right, they're going to get put in the closet.
I know, right? They'll be hanging up after a while. Like, I'll never bring you hanging up t-shirts. Yeah, man.
I need to stock up on some because, you know, like, I've been really, you know, like, you know, pushing the envelope at our fellowship because, you know, as a preacher, you mm-hmm. know, in the black church especially, you're supposed to have a certain look.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least two pieces of a suit, you know. at least, you know.
Pants and a vest.
And me, let me tell you, in a winter time, I would show up in jeans, and I got these steel-toed Jodeci looking boots.
Not the Jodeci joints.
Yeah. I mean, because I still love that 90s look with the baggy pants,
right.
The boots. I'm the new old school, you know. Yeah, we the new old school right now, and so like I show up with that and a sweater. Well, I probably have a button up under the sweater,
right?
You know, but like you know, with the sleeves rolled up,
right.
I show up like that to preach.
Yeah,
and my dad looked me up and down like, boy, I mean that's just kind of how I remember. One New Year's Eve celebration. I actually don't go to the New Year's Eve celebrations anymore because it's just a lot of mess that irks me sometimes. But one time I went to one a few years ago when I first started preaching, before I got ordained. And this time, I didn't have a boot. I mean, I had on some tennis shoes. There was some nice tennis shoes, but I had some jeans and a sweater. And it's just the New Year's, you know, and we're in the pastor's office, you know, before the service. You know how the preachers like to congregate mm-hmm. in the pastor's office. Mm-hmm. He's in there. And this one preacher walks in and he goes, he says to my father, now mind you, I'm a grown man at the time, but he says to my father, he says, is this your son here? He said, yeah. He said, ain't he a preacher? My dad was like, yeah, you know, why you don't dress like a preacher? You know, and at the time, you know, I'm fresh, you know, I didn't say anything. There's certain things like y'all kind of just like, let me know my place. Let me watch my mouth. And certain things. I was wise enough to kind of just leave it as is, but now, I kind of just be like, man, what kind of preacher you want me to dress like? Because, you know, I can go John the Baptist on you and just show up in, like, camel pants.
Right, right.
You know, and whatnot. I mean, it's like, what do you mean, why don't I dress like a preacher? I mean, like, the only, you know, I mean, I start taking this into a conversation. I'm like, listen, these raggedy clothes right here, whether it be a suit or a jeans, is going to die off. But as long as I'm covered in the robe of Christ, in the righteous robe of Christ, I'm cool. You know, I mean, like, I say stuff like, you know, but... Mm-hmm. I push the envelope, and I know that if I get me some theology t-shirts, I'd be right in the pulpit. With, I think Adam Ford, he has shirts as well. He had like a theology nerd collection.
Yeah, man.
I mean, I'd love to show up on a Sunday with those shirts.
I'm all about it, man.
You know?
I'm all about it, man.
I keep telling my wife, my daddy gonna mess around and just kick me out the pool pit one day.
Nah, man, you know? You bring that word. I be hearing them in the videos, amen and all hard in the background.
Yeah. So you can't deny it, I suppose. I mean, he is preaching the Bible, though. So
Yeah.
You know, scripture by scripture.
We can put up with a clothes as long as stay in the scriptures. In the scriptures.
Right, you know, God is good, man. I tell you this, like in a Baptist church here in Omaha, I don't know how it is elsewhere, but I know here in Omaha, to be an associate minister, I mean, things have changed culturally now, and everybody's a pastor, youth pastor, this, that, now, like the way that it goes now, and you know, I don't get hung up on the titles and terminology, but being an associate minister in Omaha, like, most of the associate ministers out here sitting in other churches, they don't preach a whole lot.
Oh, I know.
Unless they get invited somewhere else. Like me, like you know, as an associate minister, like I preach at least twice a month, at least, and I probably preach more than a lot of the associate ministers in Omaha put together. You know, my father gives me crazy opportunity to do, you know what I'm saying? And even still, like for example, I remember like growing up, the church that I went to, if the pastor went out of town, even though he had a pulpit full of associate ministers, a guest preacher would come in and run the church. Matthew, I mean, from the second I got my license to preach, you know, because it's protocol for them and all that, the second I got my license to preach, my father went out of town and left the service to me.
Here you go, son.
Yeah, you got it. You know, and the thing is like, if I don't know anything else, I'm confident enough to be able to sit up and head a service and preach a sermon. Mm-hmm. You know, all because of that. I thank God for my father for that. He's been pretty much phenomenal as far as giving me the opportunity to get up there and preach. Cause I guarantee you, like, that doesn't happen anywhere else. I don't see it happening anywhere else, you know. And the sad thing is, a lot of the social ministers, when I sit up, like when I talk with them, just ask them, just talking with them about certain stuff. It's like, well, man, like, you know, like, what kind of training are you getting? Like, you know, like, what's, you know, how are you being developed? This, that, and the other. And it's like, it's almost like, man, if they ain't hungry enough to go and study for themselves, they really, you know, the only thing they learning is how to keep, you know what I'm saying, the pastor in whatever position he's in.
Right, for the most part,
you know, and.
Yeah.
And,
I seen it growing up, man. The church I grew up in, I mean, they almost ran out of room in the pulpit. They had so many associate ministers up there. But it was like, they had cats sitting on steps, man, you know, but that's where they sat. They didn't, it was it, you know. But yeah. I will say when he left, he would pick somebody to, you know, one of the guys, but it seemed like it's still like the same people. You know, when they leave, like, if you aren't the strong one, then you just keep sitting, you know, you're like, I guess you got to keep playing the bench. I don't know.
Yeah. it's like, what do you do? You know, here, you know, and like I said, I remember like a lot of them, such, like, it would be completely different. Like if they had like something that they did within that congregation, and it's like, it's like, no, I just see you on Sunday sitting there and maybe on Bible study night, but you come in and you sit. And then, you know, and I feel like every so often, like, yeah, they would get to preach. I remember, you know, like when they went to preach, it would be like something special for me. It's like, dude, like, I didn't even know they knew how. Like, I always, you know.
Or you find out that they really don't know how. That's why they say.
Yeah. So,
that's why they say. Yeah.
And that's a funny and sad thing at the same time.
Yeah. Because a couple of the ones from my old church, man, they went out. And they came back, you know. they went out the pastor and you know, I guess it didn't work out for whatever reason. And then they're back. And I'm thinking, you know, lack of training or lack of, you know, stuff like that.
Lack of preparation. I've seen guys get up and try to preach a sermon and you can tell they didn't prepare. And then they try to save their sermon by hooping and hollering. I feel embarrassed for them.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, it's like, man, what you thought was about to happen, you know?
Right.
And I think like the funniest time that it happened, I was at a church. I was at a coaching church.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent this guy up there, and really, and like honestly, like this is a time of my life where I was just really just hungry for just mm-hmm. some just some sound preaching. I'm not just talking about something emotional driven, but I just wanted to hear something sound.
Right.
And I was sitting up there, and this guy was preaching. I can't remember where he was preaching from, but all that man did was like he'd be reading a verse, and I think he would lose his place. So what he would do is he would just start hollering. Oh, glory! And it's like, like, what are you hollering for? Like what's happening? You know?
Dude, why didn't you record that? I could have made a meme out of that, man.
Oh, man, this is, this was actually pre-B and D days.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I would have found it, T. I promise I would have found it.
And then, oh, my goodness. I was just sitting there looking around. And the sad thing is, I don't know if it's sad or whatnot, but you know, like the people in the audience, they just kind of just encourage that. You know, start clapping along. Like, what are y'all clapping for? like he's not, he's just yelling. I don't know. Like, what is this? I got up and left. I got up and left.
We're the worst, man. We're the worst when it comes to that, man, because like, especially like if somebody get up there and they can't sing, people are like, that's all right. That's all right. No, it's not all right.
Right.
No. Sit down.
Right. I'm making joyful noise.
Yeah, sit down, please.
Yeah. Take your time. Like, no, please hurry up and sit down.
Right. Yeah.
Right. There's a reason why, like, if I'm going to get up and sing, it's going to be a congregational collection. I'm just there to
leave. Oh, yeah.
What's that? I'm not there to dazzle you. We're going to get through this, and I'm going to sit down. I'm going to sing a verse and a chorus, and we good.
You know, that's right, man.
You got to know your place, man. Everything ain't for everybody, but
exactly,
Yeah. So, man, you said, man, you've been doing a lot of things trying to get the podcast going. So, like, what more have you been doing as far as
Well, you know, like I said, got these little promo audios from Joe and Todd. You know, hopefully, I get to record one with RC. Basically, man, just kind of, you know, blowing up social media, putting it out there, and getting these named guests, you know, because, believe it or not, you know, people just don't want to hear me and you, Barlow.
I'm good with that.
Yeah. They don't want to hear just me and you, man. So that's been my focus, is reaching out and reaching out to these guys, man, and not being scared to ask, you know. And you know, by the grace of God, I haven't had a no yet. It's either, you know, I'll give you some dates and times, or let me check their schedule. You know, none of it's been a no. All have been, you know, interested. Cause I tell them, you know, it's a small podcast, you know, it's most likely, African American audience. And what I'm trying to do is expose them to you guys because I really like you, you know, and that's pretty what I sent them in a nutshell, man. And, you know, they all are pretty much on board, or their assistants. Some people I haven't talked to yet are on board, man. And that's what we're doing, man. We're pushing. I really want to build on it, man. Because once we get, you know, a good amount of people in the community listening, that will open other opportunities for other guests, you know, because they've actually heard about it, you know, and then also, make room for people to come back. You know, so that's kind of been my focus, is just, reaching out to these people, man. And they've been hit me back, man, and we've been making it happen, man. But there's a lot of, I'm excited about what's coming up with the bar, man, where the bar is going. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely, loving the fact that, man, like that, that some of the heavy hitters are coming on the show and giving, I mean, you know, like when you get validated by somebody who, you know, saying, who's a credible Christian, that's good stuff.
Exactly.
I feel like at that point, man, we must be doing something right. And that's exactly. when I heard the Todd Frill,
right.
You know, when I heard his promo, I was like, oh man, that's just awesome. That's big.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. It really is.
So I mean, I'm very grateful to God, cause that's one of the people I look up to, when,
oh, yeah.
when, I'm,
Bro, I got so many messages from people saying that, wow, you know, Todd Friel, man, he helped me with my doctrine. He helped me with this. And, you know, I got my inbox was blowing up when I posted it on Instagram, man. Just people just witnessing about, you know, that ministry on YouTube and how much it helped. Because you got to think about it, we're the YouTube generation, you know, so.
Yeah.
And he has so much, you know, stuff out there, man. And a lot of people are affected by it. So to get that big ups from him was big. But, oh, I know it's something I forgot to mention. Also, we're going to be posting, some of your sermons, brother. That's in the woodwork to post, some of your sermons and some, Virgil's sermons. Virgil, I already got one of his up there. Because getting counsel from Joe and Jimmy, man, them guys, they do shows in advance and they stock them up because, those that's pretty real true to the Bar podcast know that we go through little droughts and situations, yeah. But yeah. Now we got something to help us through those times of, those times of tribulation.
Right, right. I wish we could start from where I am. But one of the things I've been doing is just doing it live through Facebook, but never really saving it onto my camera roll to upload it to like YouTube or anything, which I don't know why I didn't think of that. It's not like I don't have a YouTube page like me. So I mean, as soon as I figure out, you know, I'm not the tech savvy one. You're the tech savvy one up in this group. So as soon as I figure out how to do whatever it is that you need me to do.
I already got it, man. What'd you say? I'm the tech savvy one. I done figured out a way to rip it from your Facebook.
Well, there it is.
This is what I need for you. This is supposed to be a side conversation, but we'll do it on the air. I just need you to tag me in the beginning and number it out for me so that I can save it in order. So we'll drop it in order.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. I can definitely do that. I'll try to get that done tonight. And,
okay.
The only one, there's one that's missing though, that for some odd reason it didn't get posted, and it's one of the ones I was excited about. It's John 3. Out of all the chapters, but that's cool.
That was the devil, man.
it was nothing but old Smoothfoot and the Prince and the Power of the Air trying to stop the going forth of the word. But that's all good though. I even thought about doing another live video just from my home, just going over the notes from that sermon.
Hey,
But the thing is though is that like I'll revisit that a lot in other sermons. Because it's like I hit that major point. When we were talking about John 6, when people didn't understand it, when people wasn't getting what Jesus was saying because they were thinking naturally about something spiritual, I was able to go back and reference yet again Nicodemus and what that means, or so forth. So I have to do that because again, you got to think about this is a lot of sermons, a lot of stuff that we're going over, and it was nowhere near the meticulous nature that like Todd Friel's church was going over. But it's like, nevertheless, though, it's a lot of stuff. So I go back with the people and we revisit and it's like, you know, say, hey, let's not forget that it said this in John 1 verse 12 and 13. It says this right here and so forth. So that's the only reason why I did that. But like, yeah, other than that, John 3 is missing. The rest of them, you know.
Okay.
They'll be good to go.
Yeah. And we'll span them out, man. And get it out there. I'm excited about that. And I got all of Virgil's stuff downloaded already. I tested one of yours and it works just fine. Audio is good. So I'm excited about that, man. That seems like that's the future between the interviews and some sermons.
We might even be able to start a B&D sermon audio account there.
Yeah, honestly. I mean, it'll be just you because I think Virgil locked up with, you know, Westside or whatever name of it. What's the name of his church? Westside?
Westside.
Right?
I was just out there. I've been taking classes out at
That's cool. I was wondering if you went out there.
Yeah. New Testament Survey, man. And last night's class was awesome. Because we've been really dealing with just the history.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah, you ain't got to be mad. Hey, look, you can buy the book that we use in online and you get the exact same stuff. You have it for DVD with the...
No.
All that. Don't be jealous. You got a DVD fresh from Todd Friel himself, so you don't get to be jealous.
That's true. I was watching that today, but go ahead.
We've been really dealing with, like, what was going on in the culture around that time and so forth, and what makes certain things significant throughout the New Testament as you look at those things in the culture, and we got into what made the scriptures canon, if I'm saying this word right, apostolicity. If I said that word right, was important for the canon of the scriptures, basically meaning that as far as the New Testament is concerned, it had to be either written by an apostle. Or somebody had to be a close associate of an apostle, and anybody who came after that, although what they written was agreed with scripture, it was not considered inspired because of that.
Right.
Good stuff. Dealing with a lot of people, like the different types of beliefs that the people had, from paganism superstition, and how there was a syncretism between superstition and the actual religious belief of the Jews. I mean, like, it was just so much stuff. How the Sadducees and the Pharisees came about, that is an interesting story.
Virgil putting it down, huh?
Yeah, but it's not actually Virgil teaching the class, though. Virgil was just kind of like a liaison for that class to happen at the church.
Yeah,
so,
he liked the
theme. He teaches some other stuff, but there's another guy by the name of Steve who has a church out here that Steve is the teacher of the class. Virgil was there like the first couple of nights, just kind of just seeing how things are progressing, and then I haven't seen Virgil since. But Virgil is the reason why I'm in that class, and I thank God for him Virgil's like, man, look, I want you in this class. I'm paying for it. I'm not hearing anything. I was like, okay, Virgil was really blessed me with an opportunity to be a part of this class. Man, and yesterday's class, man, we were actually dealing with dealing with Jesus, the life of Jesus and who he is, and so we went through his titles, we went through a lot of the prophecies about him and so forth, and as the teacher was talking, it was almost as if the teacher was preaching, so the students in there, we kind of just like, man, this is good. It's one of those moments where you realize yet again that the gospel never gets old. it's like hearing it was almost like hearing it the first time. And then he played a sermon sermon clip from, I can't remember what that guy's name is now. I've got it wrote down somewhere, but it was a guy, and in his sermon, he was describing Jesus, and he spent about 5 minutes just talking about Jesus.
Oh, you're talking about the famous one, the Prince of Peace, bright morning star. Who is this?
And that's about 4 or 5 minutes of talking about him. He was like, I wish I could describe him to you.
I wonder, do you know him?
He played that like that. And again, every time I hear that, again, it's like it's the first time I heard it. Like, I love it, so last night's class was just a blessing, man.
I'll go interrupt you. That's Dr. S.M. Lockridge. That's who, you can look it up on YouTube. That's my king. Do you know him?
Yeah.
And actually, I might drop it at the end of this podcast. That sounds like a winner.
Yeah, I did, because that's the thing. I couldn't think of it. I never knew his name, and I would hear that, I thought throughout the years. Every so often, I would hear that. When he pulled that up last night, man, I was like, oh, man, that's it, man. I'm ready to go home. Bring out the collection plate. That's it. Open up the door to the church.
That's what's up, T. Hey, T, I enjoyed being with you, man. And we hit an hour just so fast. It don't make no sense.
Yeah,
yeah.
I didn't realize that, man.
Yes, sir.
That's for like 30 minutes.
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. It's always like that when you're on with good folks and you're having fun, man. But,
yeah, man. I was about to say, man. I've been missing this, man. This is certainly good. Thanks to the God for this opportunity to chop it up with you, man. It's been a while. We don't get to talk like we used to.
Life
happens. Life happens, man. But when it comes across my mind to do so, I must take the time to say, man. I just want to tell you that I thank God for a brother like you. You've been nothing but a blessing from the day that we met. And I just hope and pray that somehow or another I could be as much, at least half the blessing to you that you have been to me. And I just want to make sure that I love you to life and I pray nothing but blessings upon you and your family, man.
Hey, man, love you too. Why are you trying to make me cry at the end of the show, man? You know what I'm saying? Oh, man. Hey, bro.
Nobody's going to judge you for that.
I got you. Okay. Nothing but love for you, man, and your family and all that, man, and always a joy and a pleasure. Man, shout out to the whole Be Not Deceived team, man. Virgil, Christy, T, Dominique, and the return of AJ.
I'm excited about that.
Yes, sir. And also can't forget Jonathan. My man, the scribe.
You've been holding it down on B&D.
Yes, sir. The scribe. That's his new nickname. I'm going to have to tell him that in the inbox. But yeah, man, always a pleasure, man. We appreciate you guys checking us out and tuning in to the podcast. Make sure you check us out on Facebook. That's facebook.com/BND2012. Follow us on Twitter. That's @BNDTruth2012. Man, T-Bone, hey, it's been so real, bro. I don't even want to hang up the phone, but we got to get out of here.
Yeah, sure enough, man. We love you to life, man. Appreciate y'all. And everybody listening, God bless y'all. Break the peace. Don't forget, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can get to the Father but by him, and that's the gospel.
That's right. And we out of here, y'all. Yes, sir. Later.
The Bar. Biblical and reforming.
For those of us who claim Christ, our authority is the scripture. For those who don't claim Christ or who claim another, I'd like for them to, we challenge them to explain a standard of truth apart from scripture. Explain the nature of good and evil apart from the scripture. You have no context, there's no justification for it, except for the whims of men. And so, man, we stand upon the foundation of the scripture, sola scriptura, scripture alone, man.
Doctrine. Yeah, sola scriptura.
Sola scriptura.
Scripture alone. That means scripture alone. What's your eternal situation for the age of creation? For he laid the foundation, was a plan for expiation. Christ became propitiation, meaning he switched his places on the cross for our disgraces. In the crowd, he saw our faces. Just